I definitely don't think it's about me feeling any less ambitious either, right? Like, this is not me kind of like turning down the expectations that I and dreams that I have. It's just recognizing that, you know, you gave your example like a renovation, like it might just not be the right time. Like they kind of have to go hand in hand. It has to be like the right goal at the right time.
Welcome to the Secrets of Supermom Show, where we explore how successful, busy moms battle overwhelm, beat burnout, and stay happy in the process. I'm your host, Lori Oberbreckling, wife, mom of four, corporate executive, photographer, and author of the book Secrets of Supermom, how extraordinary moms succeed at work and home, and how you can too. Hey, hey, friend, welcome to episode number 161 of the Secrets of Supermom Show. I so hope that you are enjoying one of our favorite series on this show as we get ready to welcome in 2024. It is officially New Year's Eve, and we are officially halfway through the series. If you have not been listening, starting on December 28th and all the way through January 4th, if you're listening to us with us live, we have a new guest every single day sharing how to plan your best year ever. Over the 8 days, we hear from eight different experts on time management, productivity, planning, goal setting, and simply being a supermom. They're sharing with us how they personally plan their best year ever. If you missed the first few episodes, you can head back. So just to get to the episode, you can go to secretsofsupermom.com/the episode number. So episode 158 kicks us off. So that's secretsofsupermom.com/158, or you can just head to the show notes. Episode 158 is with Anna Dearman Cornick. Episode 159 is with Tony Ann Mayembe. And episode 160 is with Maria Maldonado Smith. Y'all, these have been so great. You have four more to come after today. They are amazing. You are going to feel so ready to plan your best year ever. So today, Chelsea Neumeyer joins us and shares how to plan your best year ever, even when you're in a season of unknowns. So when we interviewed, Chelsea was waiting for her very first baby, and she is now officially a new mom. Seriously, check out her Instagram. He's precious. So head there if you want to check him out. But you're also going to love her poster board strategy. And if you try it, we would love for you to share it with us. Friends, if you love this episode and the series altogether, I would love it if you would share with a friend. We need more moms out there hitting big goals without the guilt and without that overwhelm. Y'all, I'm just thrilled to bring Chelsea back to the show. Y'all, before we dive into the show, I have a special treat for you. After this amazing podcast series ends, I have a mega workshop for you on January 7th. It is called, you guessed it, How to Plan Your Best Year Ever. And it walks you through a step-by-step plan, combining tried and true methods with some of the strategies from our brilliant guests to plan your very best year. You can grab your seat right now at www.secretsofsupermom.com/plan. This workshop is absolutely for you if you want to start saying no to things that don't light you up this year. You want to feel more organized and less overwhelmed in 2024. You want more time for you. You want to set a big goal and actually reach it. You want to better manage your time and your energy. You want to live this year feeling peace and happiness, ready for even bigger things. Let's make 2024 the year you find a purpose, create a plan, and crush it. I cannot wait to see you there. Let's get on with the show. Hey, hey, friends, welcome to the show. I'm so excited Chelsea's here with me. Chelsea, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I love having these kind of conversations.
Oh, this is going to be so fun. So I have, as soon as I decided to do this series again, I have been looking forward to every single interview. I cannot wait for it. And then I am one of those, you know, like I like buy a present for someone and I want to give it to them right away. It's like, I did these interviews and now I want people to hear them immediately. So I'm going to have to wait because you guys know, obviously we're not recording these live. So I now I'm going to have to get so excited and wait to share it. But there's so much brilliance. These are so much fun to do. So before we get started, I would love for those of you that have not heard Chelsea before with us, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So again, my name is Chelsea Neumeyer. I'm a time management and productivity coach working with solopreneurs and nonprofit leaders. And I really just dove into this world because there is so much advice out there that really didn't resonate with me or my life. And I think productivity should be personal, right? I think we should lean into the things that we're really good at and what we like to do. And that's how we can build sustainability in our business and in our schedules. So I am originally from upstate New York. And at the time of this recording, I am in Guantanamo Bay Naval Base in Cuba, which is incredibly random, but my husband's in the Navy. So we absolutely love it here. And I'm trying to get into the Christmas spirit when it's 80 degrees out
sweaty.
And people are people are decorating palm trees.
Yes.
But
that
I love
like
it
Phoenix.
Here. But
that's
I love
very
it
Phoenix
here.
Of them. Yes, very Florida, very Phoenix of everybody. That's what we do. My husband just took a trip and he is in Iowa, so he sent me a picture of snow and I was like, "Nope, not snow here."
Nope. But I love the heat. I love the beach, so I'm not in any rush to get back to the cold.
Yes. And by the time this is live, you will be a mama. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. There's a baby Absolutely. Cooking right now. So we get to, so I get to see her cute little face and her cute belly. So I am just excited to dig into this. I want to know, we're planning our best year ever. How do we get started?
Gosh, so this was such a great question. And this year I have such a different approach to this than I have in previous years because my life is about to be so different. This is our first baby. We're going to have a really big move. My husband and I are have a new duty station next year. So this is, I'm so glad that I got to get to talk about this and dig into this more because I, for myself personally this year, have been really thinking about how I want the year to feel. More than anything, more than setting really hard goals for and number goals, right? I'm really thinking about how I want this year to look, how I want this year to feel, what's going to be my priorities in terms of spending time with family, with friends, really making the most of our short time left on this base and preparing for our next base. So my advice to my clients has been, and my advice to listeners, has really been just take that step back before we dig into the reflection piece, before we dig into all those kind of tactical, practical pieces. How do you want your year to feel this year? And how do you want it to reflect your priorities and your values? How you want your time to reflect your priorities and your values for the year?
Yeah, I love that that's how you're starting. And I love that you mentioned and shared some of the information about your personal life, right? That because I'm sure that there are listeners right now that are maybe having a baby or maybe having a second or a third baby, right? I'm sure there are listeners that are planning a big move. And in your case, it's a giant move, right? Mm-hmm. So like maybe they're planning a big move. Maybe they are moving across country or out of the country. Maybe they are starting a new job and they know that's happening, right? Maybe they're starting a business. Maybe they have this big, huge change on the forefront. And it's almost like, well, how can I possibly plan the year when all of these changes are coming? And you're saying, hold on, you can absolutely plan the year, but let's start with how we want to feel. How do we want to feel so that we can base everything else around that? Because it's going to be a different type of planning year than maybe you've done in the past.
100%. And as someone who's an incredibly kind of type A planner, like that's, I love to do this. Trust me. Last year I had about a dozen poster boards set up and sticker notes. And like, I love it. I'm not discouraging anyone from doing that, but it was just such a great lesson for me to learn personally that there's going to be so many things out of my control that are new. And so exactly as you said, just give yourself permission, right? Like we can plan it all ahead, but we have to give ourselves that grace and that space to know that there's going to be changes. There's going to be big, you know, potentially big changes and big things coming your way too.
Yeah. Has that made you decide as you start to think about what you want to kind of do in the year versus how you want to feel, has that changed it too? Has it taken your pedal off the doing and more of the feeling? So kind of giving yourself a little bit more flexibility this year?
Absolutely. And also recognizing, you know, like what I can control, right? Mm-hmm. And, so, you know, in terms of the move, it's thinking, you know, of course, I want to like already know what house I'm going to be living in like next fall, right? But also just getting excited about it. Like, I think for me, I've just been focusing on like the really exciting things coming up and all of those possibilities and trusting a little bit more than I have in the past that things are going to work out the way that they're meant to, which
So
is a
you
little
want
bit
to,
more different. Yeah.
yeah, you want to feel excited versus sort of maybe, I don't know if you would have used the word scared, but that would maybe be my experience, right? I'd be a little
Yeah, or
fearful of what's going to change and what I don't
exactly.
know and all of that. So you're kind of deciding now, I want to be excited for this. I want to see the adventure in it instead of see
Exactly.
the seeing the possibility versus seeing the potential failures or potential scary things.
Yeah, or all the decisions I have to make in
Yeah.
the middle, right? Yeah. So
Yeah.
definitely looking at it as an adventure.
Oh my goodness, so great. So once you're, and of course, this is a little different than you've done before, but once you're kind of feeling the feels, right? Feeling, okay, this is really how I want to feel this year. You said you mentioned reflection. So do you then move to reflecting on the past, on the current? What, you know, where does that reflection go into?
Absolutely. Yeah. So have had this kind of end of year ritual every year that I love. And it absolutely starts with that reflection and looking back on each month. I incorporate this into my morning routine. So part of my morning routine, every part of it is weekly. I look back and track different metrics or different things in my business that I've done or different things personally. So I always start with that reflection because I think it's really important to look back and say, what has gone really well? Where do I need to make some adjustments? Where were things that I really liked and had a really good time doing? And it's kind of funny to see where these spikes happen in our business and being able to associate them with, oh, I did that fantastic collaboration and saw this number skyrocket, or oh, I had a launch this week and this is what what worked and what didn't. So I love doing that reflection piece, both analytically, but also going back through kind of my journal, my daily journal, and say, like, all the travel that I did or time with friends and family, and looking back on those kind of more moments or those events as well.
Oh, I love how specific you are about some of this reflection, right? So we certainly talk about, you know, reflecting on how the year felt, reflecting on wins, but I love that yours is very tactical too, that you are saying, I, in my morning routine, I've already set up a way to track the things that I'm doing, the successes that I've had. So now I can very easily go back week by week, month by month, and see what happened over this last year. It's not just a how did this year go in my head. It's actually looking back physically and saying, what did happen in this year that I can be excited about or can say I never want to do again, or right, being able to actually look at it. And I love that you did that, because I think for those that maybe don't have that, right, maybe you don't have a morning routine, maybe you never track anything, thinking about, ooh, how powerful that is, and how could I work that into my weekly planning, right? How could I write down some wins, or how could I write things that I want to change, and being able to then use that. You know, I love to go back week by week and look at that, but even month by month, and now looking at the end of the year is going to be so powerful for you. And I think, oh, I've been doing that. I could totally do that. I can totally look back at every single week this whole past year and see exactly what my life has looked like every, you know, along the way.
And I think this is where that my kind of putting that productivity as personal piece plays such an important role, because there's so many ways to do this. And I'm such a paper and pen person that I have it's just a binder with a bunch of printout. Like, it is super low tech. And I kind of make my own sheets and kind of fill it in. And the other thing that made it really flexible for me was I don't necessarily do it on a Monday or a Friday. It's actually based on the first, so whenever the first of the month is to the sixth of the month, and then the seventh to, so I do it that way by date. So then it actually becomes more fun because I look forward to it. It's like, oh, Tuesday morning, I get to, the first was a Tuesday and I get to do it on Tuesdays now. Or so it's like these silly ways that we can kind of hack it for ourselves to be consistent with it. And there's also, if I miss it for a week or it's not the end of the world, right? Because I have the data to back it up on both on either side. So I also try to give myself a little bit of grace if I'm traveling or just forget, it's really not the end of the world either.
Nice. Okay. So we sort of look back. We look back. You look back at your calendar. You look back at your routines that you've noted. You're able to sort of see some wins. You're able to see, like you said, those spikes in maybe revenue that tie together, or even spikes in energy, or spikes in other things that, oh, okay, you know, I had a great August because, and you can see what those things are. So once you've done that, what's next?
Yeah. So like I said, in past years, I love to, I'm such a visual person, and again, with paper and pen. So for me, it works really well to have it out on like poster boards, and I just tape them up onto my wall and really thought about life in those kind of different buckets, right? How did I want my business? What did I want in my business? What did I want like personal life and some goals and some fun stuff for my husband and I to do. We had like a bucket list for living on this base. But you could have a bucket list for wherever you live, right? And just like a family things that you want to do. Lots of travel, right? And we also had like kind of health and finances. So thinking about those different strategies. And then I always just start with a big brain dump. Because for me, I am someone who for years had, you know, 23 goals for 2023, which is like,
wow,
terrible. Like I do not recommend that strategy.
So, no 24 goals for 2024. No. You heard me say, this does not work. Do not have 24 goals.
Do not recommend. But the brain dump just helped me, like kind of gave me permission, right, to see what bubbled up as a priority. Because we get so excited. We, like many of us are go-getters, we're high achievers. We get inspired and excited about all these different things that we could do. So getting them all out on paper kind of gives us permission to, because something as you're writing it is going to bubble up to be like, this is the one, like, this is what I'm most excited about. And then we can build up off of that instead of listing everything as a goal.
Like that should, every one of those should be
every
my goal.
One of them is. Yeah.
I'm overhauling my entire life this year.
Exactly.
So when you have your poster boards up, like you're hanging poster boards on the wall, and are you actually brainstorming physically on the poster board? Are you kind of doing it that way, so it's visual for you? Are you brainstorming on paper and then putting the big things up on the board? I want to like get real strategic about how you do it.
Absolutely. So I actually did it all on sticky notes. So each idea was a sticky note. And then I would just write it out. And then again, star the ones and kind of almost triage them, right? Wow. And so we can kind of starting really boiling it down to what is going to be where I can dedicate the most of my time and energy and effort towards this year. So I just go for it.
Notes. And put all the post-it notes up. And then, so when you are kind of starring those, are you, especially this year, as you have thought about feelings a lot, are you leaning more into how those goals feel more this year than kind of in previous years?
Definitely. And I think with less expectation on myself. So, you know, with there's such this expectation to, at least I felt it, you know, to have that 100K year, 200K year, and 150, right? Like we see all of these goals that other people in our industry or people we look up to and admire are posting and sharing about. And they felt more like I should do it because everybody else was doing it, and less about how it kind of personally made sense or reflected on my year. Like, do I need to make that money? Like, yeah, of course it'd be cool to make that much money or more, but did I actually like need to, like, what would that actually do? And so this year there was just a lot less expectation on kind of copy pasting other people's goals, because I knew that I'm not going to be able to work quite as much next year as I did this year because of all the things going on. And so my revenue goal looks different. And that's okay, because it's what reflects our family and my life and what I want to be focused on this year.
It's so interesting to think about how the feeling goes into it, right? Where, like, how would it feel to write a book this year? How would it feel to, you know, to, I don't know, create a new like space in my home? How would it feel to renovate my office? How would it feel to, because I think so often we, like you said, look at other people's goals and go, oh, well, I'm in this group and they set this goal, so I guess that's the goal I'm setting this year. And if we really asked ourselves, I mean, even think in your body, right? How would it mm-hmm. feel in your body? Does that like light you on fire and get you so excited and like you're ready to start today? Or does it make you be like, oh, I'm definitely not starting that soon? Like I definitely, right? That feels, I think if I ask myself some of these questions at really, how do I feel in my body is going to tell me that sort of makes you feel like you want to throw up, not in a good way. Right. And in like the, please never make me do that way. And maybe that shouldn't be a goal for me this year, right? Maybe that gets to be on future goal setting yeah. list, potential, future potential. And I get to pick the things that really light me up, make me excited, make me feel motivated, make me feel maybe a little scared, but scared in a good way, right?
Exactly.
Scared in the, what could, like, how could this turn out way, instead of scared in the, like, this, you know, this sounds terrible way.
Yeah. And I definitely don't think it's about me feeling any less ambitious either, right? Like this is not me kind of like turning down the expectations that I and dreams that I have. It's just recognizing that, you know, you gave example, like a renovation, like it might just not be the right time.
Yeah.
Like they kind of have to go hand in hand. It has to be like the right goal at the right time. And so I think that reflection is also really important too. So it's not me dreaming any less big. It's just recognizing that this year is going to be a little bit different. And so how can I set myself up so that 2025, yeah, that's the year I'm going to blow it out of the water. Because I've put in all the work and effort on the right things this year to set myself up for that. But that being said, I'm a wildly impatient person. So it's hard for me. Like that was a lot of mindset work I have done to not say, oh no, I can do all of the same things this year.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was going to say, okay, I feel kind of called out because this is me, right? Like having like, well, how am I going to be? Like, am I still ambitious? Do I still get to be? And right, I know that so many of our ambitious super moms yes. out there are like, but if I don't have 24 goals, how will I possibly show how ambitious I am? Right. And you're saying, no, mindset, hold on. It doesn't mean you're not ambitious. It means you're strategic. It means yes. you are paying attention to the season and knowing where you can put the most effort in to get the biggest bang for your buck for that, right? To get the exactly. most, like the most emotional effort from it, like the, you know, the benefit from it. And so I'm so glad you said that, because I was thinking, man, she's right. That's me going like, well, but what if you don't add two more goals, are you really as ambitious as you say you are?
Right? Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not here to pretend that I am not like exactly that, but I know part of that, how I want to feel, work that I did was, I don't want to go into 2025 really burnt out already. And I, again, knowing that there's going to be a lot of decisions that happen and a lot of changes happen, I can put my energy and effort into things that set me up so that, again, I just have to wait until next year.
Yeah.
And it's going to fly by. And then I can really dig in back in to the pieces that maybe didn't get as much priority in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So you really have focused on feeling. You've done brainstorming, right? You did your post-it party and you kind of like really got all those ideas. You started to hone those in. What's the next step? Are you actually planning them out after this, or is there something else that you do?
So I think of goals almost as like a project management system, right? Mm-hmm. And so just like you would have any other project, it then becomes breaking it down into those smallest possible pieces and planning and scheduling those out ahead of time. I think one thing that I'm focusing on this year are like process or performance goals versus those outcome goals. So mm-hmm. outcome goal, for example, I always pick on like to make $100,000, right? That's something that frankly, we don't actually have a ton of control over, but what we do have control over is sending out 3 emails a week, talking about our offers, showing up on Instagram and the stories, or sending 4 DMs to new leads, right? Like think about the things that you actually really can control. And that also gives us such a better and faster way to measure what's working versus just setting this kind of arbitrary goal for the end of the year. So we can say like, well, I sent all of these emails every, you know, for 3 months, and I'm still not towards where I need my revenue goal to be what's working, what's not, and you can have that moment to reevaluate. And then the performance goals are just the goals to make more than you did last year, right? If we're picking on, again, picking on revenue. So it's less about the actual number, because hitting 90, that's still a win if your goal is 100 and you made 75 last year. So it's finding those moments where we can celebrate that success along the way with our performance, but then also really getting to down to the nitty gritty of what can I can control along the way, and that process. And that's where that morning routine becomes so important for me, is because that's what I'm thinking about. That's what I'm tracking. And that's what I'm paying attention to on a smaller scale, so that we can make an adjustments. Because I always think about, like I always like a reading goal, right? Like you want to read 30 books or 24 books for the year. You can't remember that goal December 1st, right? Because that's a lot of books to read in 1 month.
You better get cracking.
So if we can have those kind of benchmarks along the way, and that just makes it a little bit easier to that we're on track and that we're tracking it, and going to help us adjust. If we need to adjust our goal midway through, we know that ahead of time.
Yes. So you're saying like you could have this target to read 50 books this year, but but the process part of that, like the is saying I'm going to read 15 minutes every day,
exactly,
or I'm going to read 20 minutes every single morning. And then being able to track that, and then you can see, is that enough to, you know, at the end of the first month, is that enough? Or did I hate every second of that? And do I need to totally scrap that goal?
Exactly.
Right. Like I forgot I hated reading. I'm not doing this at all. Right. Yep. So being able to see the progress, those goals that are actually seeing the progress forward, not just the end, not just saying, oh, I didn't make $1,000 this month, so I didn't hit my goal, yet I actually didn't do anything to make that $1,000, or I didn't lose my first 5 pounds this month, but I didn't actually change any eating habits or movement or any of the things. You're saying it's really those habitual small things that you can put into place that are going to start to make the difference. Or you also said you can see what's not working, right? So you can see, oh, that's not actually making the difference. You drink all your water, but you don't feel better, and you don't feel, which if you drink all your water, you'll feel better. Yeah. So, but that's a bad example, but you know, like I don't feel different. Or I didn't lose any weight and I thought I would, or I didn't, right? Whatever it is, you can see where what's working and what's not. So you can make those tweaks, because it's so much easier to make a tweak than it is to like overhaul an entire process, right? And overhaul an entire goal.
Yeah. And it also gives you a lot more kind of like white space or flexibility, right? So if you want to launch a new course in June and you set that expectation that you're going to record a new module every single week, and all of a sudden you're a week behind, now you're stressed and trying to figure out how to catch up, right? So this thinking about those smaller steps can, and think about your goal as a project, can just help you build in some of those buffers and make those adjustments. And when we're thinking ahead about that particular month might be a little bit busier than normal, and we need to adjust this and that, or can I launch the course and then release that module at the end after a couple people have signed up, right? And it just gives you that foresight so that we're not, I don't know, it's just, you're not like kind of scrambled or stressed when things don't quite go according to plan.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it also helps, like you said, like that would be a big goal, right? Or at least I would call, if you were going to create a whole new program and launch it, that to me is a really big goal. And that feels maybe overwhelming. Even if you say it's going to be in June, it still feels like, oh my goodness, I'm doing this in 6 months. And when you break it down into small pieces, I'm going to outline a module, or I'm going to write one paragraph for my intro, or right, you start to really break it down small, then it goes, oh, I could write a paragraph for my intro today, or, oh, I could get ready and do some recordings today. Oh, I could write, like all the little pieces are not so overwhelming as they are when you just look at it as one big, holy crap goal.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I love it. Chelsea, this has been so good. I want to ask you a couple of questions we love to ask our guests. And the first is, when do you feel most like a super mom? So she's going to be a super prego mom and a brand new super mom when we release this. But I wanted to ask anyway, because I think it's fun.
Yes. So this is such a great question. Because yes, right now I am just kind of the just pregnant mom right now. But I think I think for me, it's that taking that step back again to kind of think about how I want to feel, right? And making sure that because my goal for maternity leave, so for example, right, like how I want to, I just want to be present. I just want to have fun and think of it everything as an adventure. And that has been a huge change for me in mindset, because before it would have been, how can I maximize it, or be like, I would have made it some kind of to-do list,
yeah.
You know? And so I think for me, it's been a really great experience to just learn to kind of relinquish some of that control, because you have very little control as a pregnant person or as a parent. And so that's been a great, great opportunity for me.
I love that you've done that beforehand, because I'm definitely guilty of the maternity leave, the big massive list for maternity leave. I will also do all of these things and clean up this room and renovate this. And yeah, I was intense.
I'm trying to give myself just going into it with like, let's see what happens. Right. Yes. And that attitude.
So good. I love that. Tell us one small step busy moms can do today to get started. If they want to get started, but they're already maybe feeling overwhelmed about planning their best year ever, what's just one small thing they could start with?
I would say it's taking that step back and saying, it's December 31st. How are you feeling?
Yeah.
How do you, you know, when you think back on your year, how did it go? How are you feeling? And it's, you know, a year feels like a really long time, but as we know, it goes so fast. And when we're just kind of brute forcing our way through the day, you know, every day can feel like a drag. It's like, what is that saying? It's days are long, but the years are short, right?
Yep.
So really making sure that we're thinking about how we can put that into a practice every day. And it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be right. Like, but just taking that extra step, I think will help a lot.
Yeah. Love it. Chelsea, tell us where to find you online.
Sure. So I'm going to be on Instagram at Chelsea and Coaching, and that's Chelsea with a Y. Or my website's chelseaneumeyer.com. And I have a podcast called From Overwhelmed to Under Control, where I talk nerd out about time management and productivity stuff all the time.
And you're going to love it. So head over there and listen right now. So good. Chelsea, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Laura. It was a lot of fun.
Y'all, didn't I tell you these episodes were going to be fire? If you loved this and you want to hear another episode, tune in tomorrow. Yes, you do not have to wait a whole week. Every day this week, we're coming back live with you to share how to plan your best year ever.
Thanks for listening to the Secrets of Supermom show. It doesn't have to end here. Head over to secretsofsupermom.com and take the quiz to find out your personalized supermom superpower. Or if you want to hang out in the next best thing to real life, join me at Secrets of Supermom on Facebook or Instagram. Big hug, y'all.